something I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream, and you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
It's medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.
It's The Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Natalie.
And I'm Sasha.
And the big news is that England have finally released their 12-person strong squad for the Netball World Cup. And we are so excited. Twitter has been absolutely alight with conversation. And it's the news we've all been waiting for. So, Sasha, what are your initial impressions?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with the squad. I'm not particularly surprised. I think we've got a lot of experience in there. You probably could have predicted a while ago who was going to be in that squad. Yeah, very impressed. The only surprises for me were Nat Panagari coming in. Obviously, Beth Cobden has suffered such an unfortunate injury, her second ACL in 10 months. It's so sad. We were hoping to see her on the roster, but obviously that injury's knocked her out. So there, then we've got Nat Panagari coming in, and I think congratulations to her. She fills in that position, and I think she's got a real chance to prove herself. She's had a fantastic season in the Super League, so it's a really great opportunity for her to be playing for England. And then the only other surprise really was Fran Williams coming in as goal defence. She's a young player, she's only got 3 caps, but she's had such a stellar season with Wasps, and she actually became one of their starting 7 in the final. She's worked her way up across 3 seasons to become, you know, irreplaceable essentially, so good on her. What do you make of the team, Nat?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree on all of those points, and I think seeing those two young, kind of inexperienced in a way, internationally at least, players coming through with Fran and Nat Panagari, that's kind of what the Super League is all about. This is where you kind of build England's next stars, and it's really encouraging to see that we are making these kind of homegrown talents, and we're not, you know, relying on farming people out to Australia and New Zealand all the time. We've created this talent on our own kind of shore, and I think that's what you want to see. And like you say, they've both had incredible seasons, and I think that's really what makes this England squad so special, that real kind of mixture between experience and youth. And I was chatting to a couple of the players. I had a chat with Fran earlier this week, ahead of the launch, and she was just saying that the vibe in the camp is so exciting. And obviously she has memories of watching some of these girls play in Super League and going, you know, going at the end of the game and getting their signatures and getting photos with them. And now she's able to call them her teammates. And I think that must be such an incredible feeling, and just to feel that progression. And I think that the cohesion between experience and youth is just going to be a really exciting thing, and to have those players on the bench or in the starting 7 is going to be a huge asset to the squad, definitely. So what do you make of our new captain?
Yeah, Serena, congratulations. Not really surprised there, because she was, of course, captain for England during their Uganda series at the end of last year, and then during the Quad series at the beginning of this year. And you do kind of see that pattern follow through. You can see the way that Tracy picks squads. The majority of the squads that are in this Netball World Cup team were actually playing in the Quad series. So it was not a huge surprise to see Serena doing it. We heard that incredible speech that she gave in the gold medal match at the Commonwealth Games when they did win gold. So you can see that she is a leader. You know, she's has been leading Team Bath as well. So no surprises there. I spoke to her today as well, which was fantastic. And she was like, you know, she's really, really proud and honoured, like, every single player who's been given the opportunity to put on the red dress. And the fact that it is a home World Cup, not many players have that in their career. The last one was in England, was in 1995. So it really is like a once in a generation thing. Not every player, the next group of players coming up in the next generation probably won't get a home World Cup. So to captain your team in a World Cup is a big deal. For it to be on home soil is an even bigger deal. So gosh, yeah, congratulations to Serena. And I think that she's going to have an excellent leadership style, and I think she just will really rile up players and inspire them in key moments when it's important to dig deep.
I completely agree. I think she is the perfect choice. It makes complete sense. She's not the most capped player on the team, the most experienced player on the team, but that's not always the only thing that matters. And I think what Serena has is that kind of ridiculous energy and vibrancy, and you can feel it in the crowd when you watch her play. Like, she lifts the crowd up, you know, she'll go for balls, she's fearless, she goes for everything, she's on the end of everything. And that's what you need to see from your midcourt players at both ends. And I think that the, like you say, the inspirational element of that can't be kind of underplayed. And I think she's the kind of player that when it's those tight margins that we're really likely to see at the World Cup, she's the player that will make the difference in those games. And that's what you need to see. And obviously, like, her leadership style, we've already seen that she's got that. She knows how to talk to players. She knows how to rile them up and get them excited. And yeah, I mean, if she was my captain, I would absolutely want her to love me. I would want to impress her. So I think she's a great choice.
Yeah, 100%. And then, of course, you've got Jade Clark, who's vice captain. I think she was a former England netball captain, and she definitely was vice captain when Serena was captain earlier this year. And obviously, Jade is the most capped England player. It's ridiculous when you look at how many caps she has. 161. Some players don't even get to 100, and she's nearly doubling that. I mean, it really is just so outstanding, and all credit to her that she's still really proving that she is a starting seven player and, you know, like, a really strong, valued member of that squad.
100%. I think there are so many players on this squad that, you know, you might look at and think, oh, this is going to be their swan song. This is their last kind of outing on the international stage. And you just don't know. People keep surprising us. And like, for instance, Rachel Dunn, I'm so happy and excited to see her back in the fold, particularly after her unbelievable performance at the Quad Series back in January. She was, like, practically faultless. And it was so exciting to see her step up to the mark like that. And she had a point to prove, and she absolutely did that. So I'm so happy that that hard work from her has paid off and it's won her a spot, because it's absolutely deserved. And you know, and for a 36-year-old player to step back in after time away from the England squad, I think that's a huge, huge achievement from her, and so inspirational. Again, I think it must give hope to other players in the fold who maybe haven't made the cut this time around, that doesn't mean you're never going to get your shot. You know, you have to get on court and prove your worth and show Tracy that what you can do. And that's exactly what Rachel did. And I think she is going to be an invaluable asset to the younger players on the squad as well. What did you think when you saw Rachel's name on the list?
Yeah, I was totally delighted. And I think that there were a lot of people who saw her play throughout the season. They saw her play in the previous international series. And also at Fast Five All-Stars, she was just so outstanding. And you just think, when a player it's bad to put it this way, but when a player of Rachel's age doesn't get selected for a Commonwealth Games, you think, oh, is that it? Is that their international career over? And yeah, as you said, good on her for proving she's still got the fitness, she's still in good health, she's 100% got the skill, and she's proved that time and time again. And I think that going into a pressured situation like a World Cup, having someone of her calibre who, you know, can put up a performance when you need it and has the kind of level-headedness that you need, that is crucial. And I'm really glad to see her back in the squad, because I think our shooting end is looking really, really stable, actually, because we've got Helen and Jo, who are probably the preferable starting seven for Tracy. And then you've got Nat Haythornthwaite, who's so flexible going into goal attack and wing attack. And then Rachel Dunn, who's just, you know, she's so reliable. You put her in and you don't think, oh God, what's going to happen? You're like, no, you've got the ball in trusted hands when Rachel is there.
She is the very definition of a safe pair of hands, and I love watching her play. She has this, like, ridiculous physical presence, and she's so much stronger than she looks initially as well. And I think that she'll really give any defence something, you know, a lot to think about. So I'm really excited to see her get on court, and I'm excited to see how all the different partnerships are going to work in the shooting end. But down the other end, I'm really happy to see Leila Guscoth getting on as well. I think she's come on her netball has progressed hugely in the past few years, and I'm excited to see what she can do, because I think there's still a lot more we haven't seen from her. And I think if she gets the opportunity in this competition, we could really see a proper defensive star coming through.
Yeah, 100%. I think Layla coming back into the squad again, all it was so significant, you know, this time last year, not quite a year ago yet, but when the Uganda squad was selected and she came back into that squad and then played again for the quad series, it's so significant because you had an opportunity to have a, you know, a sneak preview almost at this Netball World Cup squad, and she played so outstandingly there and then was called into the Adelaide Thunderbirds and has been a starting seven player in the best netball league in the world for that team. That's excellent, and I think well done to her for coming back and fighting for her place. And also looking defensively, you see Ebony Usora Brown, and I think she's an interesting player, and I'm not surprised that she was selected. In fact, she was one of the ones who you could almost bet your money on that she would be selected. But I think she's the only one out of the entire squad who actually isn't in the full-time programme, and she's still maintaining her career in law. And you just think, my gosh, how it's literally like having two full-time jobs. It's so incredibly difficult to do that and to balance it, and well done to her for maintaining that and for, you know, getting into the Netball World Cup squad.
Yeah, I mean, what an inspiration. Imagine having to do that. I find my job exhausting enough, and, you know, imagine having to train like a professional athlete and maintain the standards that she does. It is actually incredible, and it does make you think there are some players who are able to do that and want to do it, and, you know, the professional pathway isn't necessarily what everyone wants out of it. So that is an interesting thing. It's something Rachel Dunn kind of discussed as well, because obviously she's a genetic scientist. She has a very demanding career too, and, you know, I think it's amazing that these players can do both. I think that's seriously incredible. So just as a wrap up then, what are your kind of hopes for this squad? Do you think we've got enough talent in there to pull something out of the bag this summer?
Yes, I think we do. I think, well, if you look at the England squad, right, we have got like just a ridiculous number of caps between us. Like, we have got a huge amount of experience, and I think we've got the squad. It really does depend on injuries. I mean, you've got Nat Haythornthwaite coming back from a hamstring injury at the moment, so hopefully she'll be okay. Jo Harton, I think she had a minor injury as well. We just need to make sure that we like keep our players fit. It really, you just have to hope and pray that in the run-up, there's 6.5 weeks now left to go, that no one gets injured. That's really, really important. But I reckon we've got a really strong squad, and we've got like quite a good pool group. We will almost likely finish at the top of our pool group, which means then we'll end up having a match early on in, you know, in those stages after the pool stages against one of the top teams. So it really depends, but I think the fact that we've done it now, we've beaten Australia a few times, and especially after the Commonwealth Games, I think that there's a psychological advantage, and I just hope that the England team don't suffer from the pressure of being at home after winning gold and then everyone thinking that they're going to do it again. And I think there's a lot of sports psychology that has to go into this, because there's probably going to be a lot of pressure on them.
There definitely is. I think you're right that they need some serious mental toughness as well as the physical toughness. Don't get injured 100%, but also they need to keep their heads, they need to keep it calm and play their game. If they train like they have been, if they connect and they have, if they all play to the potential that each of them can achieve, then this is definitely within our grasp.
Thanks, Nat. So we now know that team, and it was announced with a fancy video from England Netball.
The story begins. A spark, a hope that burns bright, a glint in the eye. A passion that never dies. Each early morning, each hour spent driving, training, playing, each sacrifice, each setback only feeds our passion.
Every time I get out of bed every morning, because I want to change history with these girls.
When others think we're down, we dig deeper. We look at each other in the eye, and we keep believing. We began together, we grow stronger together. Our journeys take us far, but we know where we began. We know who we are. We may have changed names, but our values remain. We battle, we challenge, we make our chance, and we take our chance. Break stereotypes, smash ceilings. We're tenacious, we're committed. We are relentless. We are resilient. We're dreamers, we're thinkers, and we're believers. We're fighters, we're leaders. From the shadows to the spotlight, we are here together.
Life is full of moments now, so make this one our moment.
United, ready. It's us, it's now.
I think for an England netball, change of direction is imperative in our athletes, and that is something that we measure them on against international competition. I think what is really different about the Mizuno shoe is the grip and flex. In netball, it's really important when the girls plant a foot and move, that is just one consistent movement, and over 60 minutes, that gains so much advantage over the opposition.
So as a sports injury specialist, one of my biggest bugbears is seeing netball players playing netball in running shoes. The reason this is annoying for me is because running shoes are designed for running in a linear motion. They're not designed for stop-start, change of direction, and looking after the stability of a player as they're coming down from the air. So the benefit of a netball shoe over a running shoe is they're designed to give you more stability and allow you to change direction with better grip, and also allow you to give it a more stable knee and ankle position when coming down from a height, therefore reducing the risk of injury in those two areas.
If you look at our attacking players, who they tend to favour a real light, speedy shoe where the grip and flex really gets them changing direction quite quickly to lose their opponents, where our defenders, where power, strength, stability and support tend to go for the heavier shoe, where that is really crucial. They're so passionate about improving performance, and they've really shown that in working with each of our individual athletes in respect to how they can make small gains and improve their performance.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom.
That's why I love the Wave Sail.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
Welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno, and we now know that England squad taking part in the 2019 World Cup in less than 50 days' time. It's been a busy day for us, to say the least. Natalie's been busy speaking to Rachel Dunn, and Sasha's also had a word with Serena Guthrie as well. If you want to find out what they've said to them, both articles are linked on our Twitter, at the Netball Show. We've also had a few messages about who will be in that Scotland and Netball Northern Ireland squad. Well, don't worry, they're not announced today. It's going to be in the next couple of days or so, and as soon as we know, we'll let you know the details. Wasps' Rachel Dunn is pleased to be part of the event.
I think the fact that I've been able to make myself available because of work, and the fact that I'm happy with how the season ended, and absolutely stoked to be called up again and to have another opportunity to represent England.
And she recognises the importance of the home crowd.
When you get the crowd behind you, they are the eighth player. So I think the girls that were out in Australia and just everyone, it's always so special playing in front of a home crowd. I think everyone's really looking forward to it. I think there's been a buzz in netball since the comms, and actually generally over the last couple of years with the success England have had. So I think everyone's looking forward to it. And yeah, especially representing in your home country in front of your home crowd.
There's great news for Nat Panagari. She's going to be taking part in her first ever World Cup, also alongside Fran Williams. When we spoke to Fran earlier on in the season, she admitted then that the focus was still purely on Wasps.
This is only my first year in the full-time programme, so I kind of came in just expecting to work hard, gain lots of experience. So to get the opportunities I have this year have been a bonus, but it's such an exciting time to get involved in netball. You know, I was watching those girls win that gold medal and so inspired, and now I'm able to call them teammates, which is really strange. You know, I've been given opportunities. I've made the most of what I can, always tried my best. If it comes my way, it comes my way.
But following today's announcement, she told the University of Birmingham's Twitter, it was a total honour.
I felt beyond excited. Words can't even explain. I was waiting for the whole hour period and I knew I was getting the call, staring at my phone screen. And then when I saw Tracy's name come up, Tracy Neville picked up, burst into tears as soon as she said, well done and congratulations. And I was trying so hard not to sound like I was crying. She was like, are you still there? Because I went all silent on her. But no, just over the moon to be selected. Can't wait for this summer to see what we can do, showcase netball to the whole country. Home World Cup, and off the back of the Commonwealth Games gold, I think netball's just going to go from strength to strength.
Serena Guthrie's been telling us the importance of having a home World Cup.
There is that increased expectation, but not just from, you know, outside sources, but from ourselves as well. And it's like you say, it's 2019 and we're not living in history anymore. We're very much about creating our own path again and trying to rewrite history in our own right. You know, we've never won a gold medal at a World Cup, or not in a long time anyway, and we want to be in that finals. And in order to do that, you just got to take it game by game, day by day. So all we can do is try and stay as consistent as possible as a group.
Sasha, captain the side, is great news for her. Anna Stembridge from Team Bath sent this message to their Twitter.
Yeah, it's so exciting that Serena and Ebony have been named in the 12 women strong squad that will play at the World Cup, a home World Cup as well, in terms of in Liverpool. Going to be brilliant, it's going to be exciting, you know, the competition's going to be furious. I think in terms of building on the success they had at the 2018 Commonwealth Games, there's high expectations not only from themselves but the whole of the country behind them, expecting them to get that gold medal. I'm extremely proud of them first and foremost. I think they've demonstrated not only how they are great players but wonderful leaders, and I think that can only add so much value to that squad. You know, you've got some very experienced, very seasoned athletes in that squad, and I genuinely believe they will go on to win a gold medal. You know, when I was involved in England, in terms of that vision of 2019, a home World Cup was part of the strategy of trying to be gold medalists, and I think it's such a fantastic opportunity for those two to play in front of a home crowd on a world stage, and I genuinely believe they've got such a wonderful opportunity to get that gold. So obviously a little bit biased because, you know, that they've been at our club and they started their club careers here. Both went away, played overseas and have come back, so very fortunate and feel very privileged to have worked with them both at club level at Team Bath and at England level. So I think for me, knowing them so well, both on and off the court, I think all that we ask is that they be themselves, and I think they will be, they'll do us proud and they'll do their country proud.
Well, Chelsea, Jeeva, Leila, Helen, Joe are still taking part in the Suncorp at the minute. I'll join the team at a later date. But with a look at the latest results in the Suncorp, here's Stephanie from the Centre Pass Pod.
Hi, this is Stephanie from the Centre Pass Podcast with your round 4 results from Suncorp Super Netball. In the first match of the weekend, the Collingwood Magpies returned to the winners' list, defeating the Adelaide Thunderbirds 65-47. The Sunshine Coast Lightning broke the New South Wales Swifts winning streak with a 59-57 win. The team on the bottom of the ladder, the West Coast Fever, had a draw with the top of the ladder Melbourne Vixens, 63-all, and the Giants got their second win, defeating the Queensland Firebirds 69-61. I'll be back next week with the round 5 results.
More great news. Not only do we find out the squad, but the news that Sky are going to launch a dedicated Sky Sports netball channel and broadcast the games online via YouTube as well. The team includes Pam, Tamsin, Mickey and Camilla as well. So I asked her what it was like to be announced as part of Sky's amazing team for the Netball World Cup.
Hi Andy, I'm absolutely pumped to be a part of that team, working alongside some great people in broadcasting, so can't wait to get to Liverpool and be a part of what's probably going to be one of the best summers ever of netball. Over the last couple of days we've seen announcements from some of the best teams, loads of announcements going on, but we know that we've had an amazing Super League season, and I think it's going to follow with an amazing World Cup as well in Liverpool. So can't wait to be a part of the team and watch some of the best netball and be a part of one of the best competitions that we've ever seen. So, yeah, super pumped.
You're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Natalie and I'm joined by Sasha Shipway, and we are talking about the Super League final and that incredible win from Manchester Thunder. How did it feel for you, Sasha?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird one because Wasps obviously went in as favourites. They've won the Super League 2 years back to back, and people were thinking, can they do it for a historic third? They looked extremely strong and they were really winning. You know, they were playing with such flow at the beginning, first and the third quarter. And then it was kind of shocking to see them lose by what felt like a much larger margin than it really warranted. But yeah, what a game. What did you think?
It was amazing. I was there with some of my teammates, and the vibe in the Copper Box was electric. It was really, really vibey. Thunder had like bust a load of Manx down from the north and they were like rowdy as hell. And Wasps were like loving life, obviously. There were loads and loads of Wasps fans in there and they were massively gunning for that third win. But I think I always will want to kind of root for the underdog, and I was keen to just to mix it up because it's boring if the same person keeps winning all the time. And obviously, I'm also a Mancunian, so I was incredibly happy with the result. But yeah, like you say, it was quite a shock. It was an upset, and I watched most of that game pretty certain that Wasps were going to do it. They looked convincing. They were flowy. They looked confident. They didn't look shaken at any point. But Thunder just ground it out, and in that last quarter when it mattered, it's almost like they wanted it more.
Yeah, 100%. I think the addition of Ellie Cardwell was made through injury, of course, but she just came on and was so impactful. I don't think I've ever seen her play with that much, I don't know, tenacity. I've really not seen that in her before, I don't think. And it was amazing. And I think she really made a huge difference and actually helped them take the victory, not just by one goal, but by five. Like, that's just so impressive. And congratulations to Thunder. They said at the beginning of the season that this is their year. They hadn't won it in a few years. The last time they won it, Helen Howersby was playing with them. So it's interesting. And I think it's true. You do sort of need a bit of a mixture. You don't want the same team winning all the time, although I sort of would have loved it if Wasps had won, but you know.
Yeah, well, definitely. And like Ellie Caldwell's impact was unbelievable. I don't know how she managed to do that in such a much short amount of time, but like you say, it was that intensity. Like, she came on and you could just see the fire in her eyes. Like, off the ball, she was working, she was pushing, she was hassling everyone. And you could just see that she was going to grab that opportunity and make the absolute most of it. And I think almost coming on with 6 minutes or whatever it was to go, I think it could go either way. Like, the pressure could be too much for you, or you can absolutely step up and be like, okay, I'm going to give everything I've got, everything in the tank in this 6 minutes and produce something unbelievable. And that's what she did. And yeah, I'm really, really impressed with her, particularly she's so young to deal with the pressure of a final, a sellout crowd at the Copper Box. And that's her reaction. I think that is stunning.
100%. I'm looking forward to seeing who they sign. We know, of course, they're losing Kerry Almond. It was her swan song, her last season with Manchester Thunder after years and years and years and years and years with them. So it'll be interesting to see who they sign next season. And yeah, I think it sort of mixed things up a bit. And the top four weren't necessarily the top four that we expected. So 2020 is probably going to be even more unpredictable than 2019 was somehow.
It's something I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream. And you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.